The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. And we'll begin with this one from Real Simple. Pet Puzzler, a trainer helps fix your peskiest issues. The issue, as soon as I leave my dog alone, he starts chewing. Everything in sight. Help. The pro says, Victoria Stilwell is the host of the TV show It's Me or the Dog, and author of The Ultimate Guide to Raising a Puppy. I'll spell her name, Stilwell, in case you want to get that book, and founder of the Victoria Stilwell Academy for Dog Training and Behavior. The fix, check with your vet to make sure your dog doesn't have a toothache or teeth coming in. Then look at patterns and habits. Your dog may be chewing to self-soothe because he has separation anxiety, or because he's bored and chewing feels good. Designate an area to dog-proof, like the kitchen or laundry room, so your pup can't harm himself or your home while you're gone. Set him up behind a baby gate, not a closed door, which can worsen separation anxiety. And remove anything he can destroy, especially things that smell like you, such as shoes. A dog bed is fine, but pick a durable one. The brand Kuranda, that's K-U-R-A-N-D-A, has some that are used in shelters. Theirs are $65 and up at Kuranda.com. Next, leave him something safe to eat or lick. You can freeze low-sodium chicken stock in large ice cube molds and pop them into a hard-to-chew bowl. Put soft music on, too. A quiet house could be unnerving. Avoid short, vigorous activities before you leave, like quick games of backyard fetch. They can fill him with energy he'll need to release, which might lead him to chew. Mental stimulation can be as tiring as physical activity, so consider taking your dog on a sniffing walk, allowing him to sniff as much as he wants for about 20 minutes. Research shows that sniffing and seeking appear to make dogs happier and even more optimistic, which means he may be in a better mental state when you leave. If you catch him chewing something he shouldn't, say no in a firm, kind, low voice. Trade whatever he was gnawing on for something more appropriate, like a stuffed and frozen chew toy. And for extra credit, if your dog dislikes the taste of Granix Bitter Apple, which is $11 in pet stores, try spraying it on furniture, doorways, and anything else you can't move out of harm's way to help keep him from chewing on those. From Woman's Day. Wise women, one of the most gratifying things about getting older, the gift of perspective. Just ask these pioneers and community caretakers who have lived through it all, racial strife, political upheaval, economic downturns, and come out stronger. First, the truth teller, Dorothy Butler Gilliam, 84. When I first walked into that newsroom, I recall a professor telling me I was going to have a tougher time because of my race and gender, says Gilliam, of becoming the first African-American woman reporter at the Washington Post in 1961. It turned out that changing those negative perceptions was exactly why I was there. I am who I am because somebody loved me, people in my family, my church, my community. Even though Jim Crow had all hell breaking out around us when I was growing up in Kentucky, we knew we weren't less than, that love gave us a sense of ourselves. I wanted to use journalism to begin letting those who would be open know more about the black community. During her 33-year career at the Post, she shared with readers her view from the front lines of the fight for racial justice and shared with younger journalists her experience as a mentor and co-founder of what is now the Maynard Institute. I saw myself as one tiny player in a larger drama, but knew it was important for me to succeed, she says. We still have a long way to go, but there have been positive changes even just in the past year. Hopefully we'll continue to see willingness on the part of Americans to talk to and know each other. Next, the caretaker, Nina Bellamy, 97. Born in 1924, not long before the Great Depression, Bellamy had what most would consider a hard childhood. Still, this time offered valuable lessons about caring for others that she has passed on to her children. As she was growing up, everyone in her family helped put food on the table. When I was a girl, I started stringing tobacco. Back in them days, when you got paid, you brought the money home. You didn't go and spend it on what you wanted. I'm thankful for that, because it taught me not to make plans with money till I get it in my hands. Later, as a mother of 13 children, she helped care for local sick kids whose parents didn't have money for a doctor. She was always ready with advice, and still is. When I see people doing wrong, I just got to tell them. You can be grown and be wrong. If somebody keeps saying you are wrong, but you think you are right, it's a problem. You need to listen. What for her is the secret to happiness? God and family are key, she says. I have been through thick and thin, but the Lord has brought me through. And I still have the Lord and my grandchildren helping me through. Next, the health hero, Gladys Kidd Jennings, 95. In the field of nutrition and dietetics, Gladys Jennings, RD, was a step ahead. Her graduate research in 1947 focused on microwave ovens' effect on the nutrients in food. In the 1960s, she was one of the first to examine what are now called food deserts and socioeconomic factors affecting nutritional health in Black communities. She has won numerous awards, but more important to her are the lives she has touched as a professor. One former student is a past president of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Another founded a nonprofit in Malawi. Then there are the ones who have stopped her in stores to say, "You taught me nutrition, and this is what it meant to me and my family." She feels privileged to have supported them. Even though she's retired, she still finds herself giving advice about nutrition and health. One of her primary lessons, "Our bodies were intended for use, not for pushing a button. So the more you can use your body physically, the better off you are." And another, the space pioneer, Valerie L. Thomas, 78, the youngster in the group here. Though Thomas got the message early on that electronics was not for girls, the drive to figure out what makes things tick led her to majoring in physics in college before joining NASA. "When I started, I had to write programs for computers. I had never seen a computer in real life," she admits. "I always wanted to learn, and at NASA, I had a lot of opportunities to do that. Opportunities for advancement, however, were scarce. I enjoyed working on things that hadn't been done before, but I wasn't getting promoted, and other African Americans were going through the same thing." So she helped found Humanitarian United Effort, an employee organization to set up networking opportunities. In 1995, Thomas retired as Associate Chief of the Space Science Data Operations Office and got a doctorate in educational leadership. She continues to lead organizations that get young people interested in STEM and aviation. She heads her local Shades of Blue chapter. And she's helping to design a new space-themed science center. It will have lots of information about contributions by African Americans. It's exciting, she says. And last, the best teacher ever, Pearly Harris, 85 years old. As a teacher in Greenville, South Carolina for 37 years, Harris modeled the kind, welcoming behavior she expected from the students who entered her classroom. These days, she introduces visitors and residents to the downtown area by way of a huge mural created to honor her years guiding the city's children. She hopes it shows that Greenville is now a community of diversity, unity, love, and passion, and compassion, and she's done the work to help make it that way. Early in her career, Harris was chosen to be one of the first teachers to desegregate city schools. There was a big PTA meeting, and some of the parents were really upset because they said, "We never wanted a," and used the N-word, "to teach our children. I decided that school year would be the best those children ever had," she says. The parents came around. "The joy of teaching for me was not only inspiring the children, but trying to inspire the parents too." In fact, one of her best teaching memories is of a parent who phoned to apologize for having called her a racial slur 20 years earlier. As Harris recalls, she said, I decided I want to be a teacher in my later years, and I want to be the person you were. From Real Simple, the book list, top books for every taste. They've got 5 recommendations. First, a book club winner. On the day of her daughter's high school graduation, happily married Flora Mancini is looking for an old photograph when she discovers an envelope containing her husband's wedding ring, the one he said he'd lost over a decade ago. Cynthia D'Aprix Sweeney's book, Good Company. I'll spell her name, Sweeney, S-W-E-E-N-E-Y, Good Company, is a smart and nuanced examination of the growing pains of long relationships, sure to spark great conversations about marriage, friendship, and parenthood. Short stories. A woman travels with her boyfriend to his sister's wedding and meets his high-spirited family for the first time. A man takes his recently widowed elderly father on a long-awaited trip to Scotland. The stories in Elizabeth McCracken's new collection, The Souvenir Museum, are witty, insightful, bittersweet, and charming, pitch-perfect reflections of the seemingly ordinary moments that come to define us. And the author Elizabeth McCracken, M-C, capital C-R-A-C-K-E-N, The Souvenir Museum. Third one, a dazzling debut. A bold novel with an unforgettable protagonist, Donnie Walton, the author, W-A-L-T-O-N, the book The Final Revival of Opal and Nev, reads like a rock and roll docudrama. It tells the story of Opal, one half of an Afro-punk duo in the 70s New York. They're an unlikely pair. Nev is white and British. Opal is a black American. And their rise to fame is upended by racial controversy. Decades later, when potential reunion means confronting the past, tensions rise again, revealing the explosive power of speaking one's truth. An Emotional Portrait, the book Whereabouts, the new novel by Pulitzer Prize winner Jhumpa Lahiri, L-A-H-I-R-I, her first in nearly a decade, is a gorgeous, contemplative read about an unnamed woman's solitary but not necessarily lonely life against the backdrop of an Italian city. Short, meditative chapters showcase her quiet existence in poetic prose that invites you to linger over the words. It's a fascinating look at the daily choices that make up a life. And last, a twisty suspense novel, When Hannah Hall's husband Owen suddenly disappears, his goodbye is a simple note, saying, protect her. She knows immediately he means her teenage stepdaughter. As FBI agents and U.S. Marshals descend on their home, Hannah and the girl question Owen's true identity and realize they must work together to uncover why he left. The book, The Last Thing He Told Me, by Laura Dave, D-A-V-E, is a fast-moving, heartfelt thriller about the sacrifices we make for the people we love most. From Woman's Day, go wild for flowers. Now's the perfect time to harness a little flower power. Treat yourself to a fresh bouquet. Get into the garden, stroll mindfully, and stop to smell those roses, or indulge in aromatherapy. Some floral essential oils help tame stress, which is crucial for good heart health. Use a diffuser to fill a room with a soothing scent. Add a few drops of oil to a spray bottle and then mist the air or your sheets, or dab oil on your neck. Hop in a steamy shower and say spa. Here, Ginger Ravencroft, an aromatherapy expert and the owner of Ravencroft Essentials, shares her favorite flowery scents. And there are 4. First up, jasmine, sweet and fruity. It may help decrease stress by stimulating the region of the brain that controls emotions and the central nervous system. Rose. This increases the release of dopamine, a brain chemical central to good mood, and studies have shown that it could have antidepressant and anti-anxiety effects. Lavender. It's one of the most well-known and studied botanicals, says Ravencroft. Lavender acts like a natural sedative to relieve stress and Studies suggest it may help improve sleep. And last, frankincense. With its lemony, sweet, woodsy scent, frankincense is thought to lower blood pressure and heart rate to produce a calming effect. And a very last little aside, did you know? Enjoy aromatherapy on the go. Try a diffuser bracelet, necklace, or ring made from pretty lava stones that hold the oil. You can get those at vitalityextracts.com. From Good Housekeeping, 4 myths about your eyes. Don't believe these common misconceptions about vision. Experts weigh in to help you see the truth clearly. First myth, carrots are the key to seeing better. Nope, there's no one specific food that will improve your vision. But there are a wide variety of dietary considerations, says Chris Easley, OD, of the Milan Eye Center in Alpharetta, Georgia. Carrots are well known for containing carotenoids, which studies show can reduce your risk of developing cataracts and macular degeneration. However, there are other carotenoid-rich foods. Broccoli, leafy greens, corn, and eggs are high in lutein and zeaxanthin carotenoids that have been found to help with visual acuity, like the ability to distinguish small letters at a distance, help stave off macular degeneration, and reduce eye stress from glare and bright light. On top of all that, omega-3 fatty acids found in foods like salmon, sardines, and mackerel are important for good eye health, adds Easley. Myth, if you're seeing fine, it's okay to put off an eye exam. It's actually a bad idea. Issues like glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy can sneak up without symptoms, which is why regular eye exams are necessary to spot problems before they get too bad, says Roman Bakri, OD, an associate professor at the Illinois College of Optometry in Chicago. All three diseases can cause irreversible harm to eyes, but catching them early can potentially stop or delay damage. Eye exams also offer clues about the health of your blood vessels, nerves, and connective tissue, which can give warning signs of brain tumors, skin cancers, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Aim to get a comprehensive exam at least every 2 years between the ages of 40 and 64, depending on risk factors like diabetes or high blood pressure, and every year once you turn 65. Another myth, to remove eye debris, you should make yourself cry. Shut off the waterworks. Crying is not the best or fastest way to get an irritant out of the eye. If blinking and naturally occurring tears don't take care of an eyelash or a fleck of dirt, says Buckery, you need to step up your efforts, especially if you're experiencing heavy tearing, redness, or light sensitivity from something in your eye. Immediately flush the eye with a medical-grade eye wash, a sterile saline solution found at drugstores, if you have it, or else with clean water. If you get it out and your eye is no longer red, watery, or irritated after 20 minutes, you're probably in the clear. But see an eye doctor, especially if the redness returns, your eye hurts, or you have trouble seeing. If something is actually embedded in your eye, or you get a chemical in it, seek medical care immediately. And the last myth, the point of sunglasses is to prevent squinting. Not quite. Avoiding crow's feet is just a bonus of wearing shades. The health-related reason to do so is that over time, UV exposure accumulates, which increases your odds of cataracts, macular degeneration, and skin cancer around your eyes, Bakri says. In fact, up to 20% of cataracts may be caused by UV exposure, and according to the Skin Cancer Foundation, eyelid skin cancers make up 5 to 10% of skin cancers. To keep your peepers safe, wear sunglasses or regular glasses with UVA and UVB coatings year-round, even on cloudy days. From Good Housekeeping, asparagus leek pasta. This is vegetarian. Prep time's 20 minutes, total time 30, serves 4. Cook a 12 ounces of fettuccine per package directions, adding 1 pound of asparagus trimmed and sliced on a diagonal, during the last 2 minutes of cooking. Meanwhile, in a large skillet, heat 2 tablespoons olive oil and 2 cloves garlic, pressed, 1 large leek, white and green parts only, sliced into half moons, 1 tablespoon fresh thyme leaves, 1/8 teaspoon of red pepper flakes, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. On medium, medium-low, and cook stirring occasionally until very tender, 12 to 15 minutes. Reserve 1 cup pasta cooking water, then drain the pasta and asparagus, and then add to skillet with the leek mixture. Drizzle with 3 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 2 tablespoons oil, and 1/4 cup of the reserved pasta water. Gently toss to combine. Toss with 1 ounce shaved Parmesan, adding more cooking water if pasta seems dry. Serve topped with grated lemon zest, additional Parmesan, and cracked pepper. From Good Housekeeping, cauliflower fried rice. Active and total time are both 20 minutes and it serves 4. We need 1/2 large head of cauliflower, 2 tablespoons vegetable oil divided, 1 orange pepper cut into thin 1/2-inch pieces, 1 scallion thinly sliced, white and green parts separated, 1 2-inch piece peeled fresh ginger cut into matchsticks, 2 tablespoons reduced sodium soy sauce, 1 teaspoon chili garlic paste, 1 teaspoon of honey, 4 large eggs, 1 cup frozen peas, thawed, 1 cup frozen shelled edamame, they look a lot like Brussels sprouts, a lot like lima beans. Those need to be thawed as well, and lime wedges for serving. Cut cauliflower into florets, discarding the tough inner core and leaves. Working in batches, transfer cauliflower to the bowl of a food processor. Pulse until cauliflower resembles rice, about 15 seconds. Be careful not to overprocess or the cauliflower will get mushy. Set aside, then repeat with the remaining cauliflower, and you should have 4 cups total. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in large cast iron skillet on medium-high. Add pepper, scallion whites, and ginger, and cook, stirring, 2 minutes. Add cauliflower, toss to combine, and cook covered, stirring once, 5 minutes. Meanwhile, in a small bowl, whisk together soy sauce, chili garlic paste, and honey. In a medium bowl, lightly beat the eggs. Push cauliflower mixture to one side of the skillet. Add remaining tablespoon oil to the empty side. Then add eggs and cook, stirring until just set, about 2 minutes. Remove skillet from heat and fold eggs into cauliflower mixture along with sauce, peas, and edamame. Serve with scallion greens and lime wedges if desired. From Real Simple, the Scoop on Almond Butter. This spread is good for way more than smearing on toast, though it's pretty fab there. Use it to boost creaminess in sauces and dressings, or swap it in for peanut butter in baking recipes. Look for one made with just almonds and maybe a touch of salt. It's packed with healthy fats, iron, calcium, vitamin E, and fiber. And they've got a recipe which uses almond butter. It is a slurpable, quick, nutty noodles dish. Active time is 15 minutes. Total time is 20. And it serves 4. We need 1/2 cup very thinly sliced radishes, 1/4 cup apple cider vinegar, 1¾ teaspoon kosher salt divided, 1 English cucumber chopped, about 1¾ cups. An 8-ounce package of soba noodles, 1/3 cup creamy almond butter, 2 tablespoons toasted sesame oil, and 2 cups watercress or other greens. Stir radishes, ginger, and 1/4 teaspoon of the salt in a small bowl, pressing down to submerge radishes as much as possible. Set aside, stirring occasionally, until radishes turn slightly pink, about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, bring a pot of water to a boil over high. Toss cucumber and 1/2 teaspoon salt in a large bowl. Cook noodles in boiling water according to package directions. Drain and rinse under cold water to cool. Transfer noodles to bowl with the cucumber. Whisk a third of a cup water, almond butter, oil, and remaining 1 teaspoon salt in a medium bowl until smooth. Spoon out 3 tablespoons vinegar from radish mixture. Whisk vigorously into almond butter mixture until well combined. Add almond butter dressing to the noodles and cucumber. Toss. Add watercress to bowl and gently toss to coat. Serve and top with drained radishes. From Real Simple, we've got some one-bowl wonders that are all sweets. I will probably only get to do one or two, but let's start with this one. Lemon poppy seed muffins with lemon rose glaze. Active time's 20 minutes. Total time, 1 hour 20 minutes, and that includes your cooling time, and it makes a dozen muffins. We need baking spray with flour, such as Baker's Joy or Pam Baking, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, a tablespoon of lemon zest plus 2 tablespoons fresh juice from 1 lemon, 1 large egg, 1 large egg yolk, 1/2 cup canola oil, 1/2 cup whole buttermilk, 1 1/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/4 teaspoon baking powder, and 1/4 teaspoon baking soda, 2 teaspoons poppy seeds. And you'll be making a lemon rose glaze as well. For that, you need 1 1/2 cups sifted confectioner sugar, 3 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, and 1/2 teaspoon rose water. Preheat your oven to 325. Coat cups of a 12-cup muffin tray with baking spray, or line cups with paper baking cups or parchment paper and coat with cooking spray. Place sugar and lemon zest in a large bowl. Using your fingers, rub zest into the sugar until coated and fragrant. Whisk in egg yolk, oil, buttermilk, and lemon juice. Add flour, salt, baking powder, and baking soda. Stir until the batter is smooth. Then stir in poppy seeds. Pour the batter evenly into muffin cups, about 3 tablespoons each. Bake until the center of each muffin springs back when gently pressed, 18 to 22 minutes. Transfer tray to a wire rack and let muffins cool for 10 minutes. Remove from tray and let cool completely on the wire rack about 30 minutes before glazing. And to make your glaze, you just whisk together that confectioner's sugar, lemon juice, and rose water, and spoon over the cooled muffins. From Better Homes and Gardens, 2 hours or less. That's the maximum time per day you should spend on social media to safeguard your happiness. In a study of nearly 1,000 young adults, 3.5 to 5 hours a day on social media doubled the risk of depression. 5 or more tripled it. Track and limit your time on social media via your phone settings or an app like Moment. And from Real Simple, a little quick quote, nothing is more beautiful than someone who goes out of her way to make life beautiful for others. That was Mandy Hale, H-A-L-E, author of The Single Woman. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Bye now.